Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba.
Hello, episode 71, Lean 911 podcast. Mark DeLuzio. Can't believe we already have 71 episodes so far. I guess technically it's 72 because I think I named the first one 00. But anyway, let's just go with 71, not to confuse people. Anyway, I'm going to talk today about the Toyota Production System. And the title of this episode is, do you really know the Toyota Production System? Do you really know it? And everybody's going to say they do, and that's probably fine. And I'm assuming I do. I've been doing this for 3.5 decades. I actually had a client the other day tell me, Mark, come on, I understand fully what lean is all about, because I consulted in it for 3.5 years. So I understand everything there is to know about lean. And I kind of chuckled to myself because I'm thinking, geez, you know, I've been doing this for 3.5 decades and I'm still learning. And this particular individual never even implemented. All they did is consult and kind of, you know, told everybody else what he thought he knew about it. Anyway, why I want to do this is because there's a lot of confusion and you get all the kinds of pedantic arguments about what is lean and what is TPS and, you know, what's this and what's that? And everybody likes to get into these debates. And then some people throw a couple Japanese words in that nobody's ever heard of before. And we get into arguments about Gemba and Genba and is it PDCA or is it, you know, PDSA? You get into all kinds of different debates just to kind of prove, well, what is it that we really know? And, oh yeah, by the way, I ate more sushi than you because I went to Japan. So I want to get past that and just talk about the Toyota Production System house, okay? And I got, if you're looking on YouTube or Rumble, I've got some presentations here, and I'll try to walk you through this so you won't miss if you're just listening in on Apple Podcast or Spotify or one of those mediums. But I'm showing a slide right now that has Tayashi Ono at a production line with his hands on his hips, and he's obviously looking at some type of production. It's hard to tell in this picture, and you've probably seen this picture before on the internet. And one of the things that Tayashi Ono, and I never met Tayashi Ono, we got trained by his lieutenants at Danaher. We brought them over in 1987. Most are either retired or gone now. I think Jihiro Nakao, who is one of my main senseis, is still out there consulting. But they were his handpicked lieutenants to implement TPS. My first trip to Toyota Japan was in April of 1990, and that happened to be the month that Ono passed away. So I never got to meet Ono, unfortunately. It would have been great to have at least shaken his hand and, you know, say hello to him, but never had the chance. But Ono is credited with being the father of the Toyota Production System. And of course, there's others that contributed to this. I'm not going to go into the history right now and all that. Maybe another time we could do a history type of episode. But what I'm looking at here is a picture of Ono. And Toyota's phrase here is, people don't go to work, to Toyota to work. They go there to think. And that is a perfect setup for what I'm going to talk about, okay? And that's what the Toyota Production System really is all about. So I'm showing a slide right now that has two bubbles on it. One says continuous improvement, which I think we all affectionately know as Kaizen, and the other is respect for people. Now, the whole respect for people concept became a little bit more in the public eye in, I believe it was 2001, okay? So well after Tayashi Ono passed away, but it doesn't mean that the respect for people was not an inherent part of the Toyota Production System to begin with. But basically what they're saying is that without the two, without the respect for people part, this isn't going to work, okay? And there's a lot of debate as to what does respect for people mean. Does that mean I say hello to you in the morning and I'm nice to you and all that? Well, yeah, maybe. That's maybe part of it. But I think we all know it's a lot more than that, right? It's how we treat people, how we contribute to their growth, how we help them advance their career, how we and by the way, respect for people is not just about employees. It's about your bosses. It's about your customers. It's about your suppliers. It's about your community. It's about your environment. And Toyota even takes it all the way through to respect for their competition. And there's not any other company I've ever met that does that. And I'm not saying there's not companies out there that have that philosophy. I just never met one. Okay. And I've been around for quite a while. So anyway, without the respect for others and building mutual trust, this doesn't work. And, you know, I've talked a lot about in previous episodes about companies who refuse to make a no layoff policy because of lean, who actually refuse to commit to their employees that if they suggest their ideas and they become redundant, that they won't get marched out the door. And there are a lot of companies right now doing lean, and there's massive layoffs in these companies. And they're all these executives are sitting there scratching their heads as to, hey, how come this isn't working? Well, you just laid off, you know, 10,000 people. I mean, some of these companies are laying off that many, okay? And in a lot of cases, there are lean people that they're laying off. But the leaders still get to keep their jobs. Okay, so it's like pushing a rope uphill. It's not going to work if you treat your people that way and everybody is worried about losing their jobs. But on the other hand, you want total employee involvement and you want people to be able to contribute to making their job and your and the company better. It doesn't work that way. So anyway, they have to go together, continuous improvement and respect for people. We'll talk more about Kaizen in a minute. I'm shown a slide of the Toyota Production System. And if you're not watching, I think you've probably all seen this slide somewhere along the lines where you have the two pillars, which is just-in-time and Jidoka. And I'll get into those in a minute. And on the bottom of the house, you have Heijunka, Standard Work, and Kaizen. Now, I've got a quote down here from Ono. He says that if you're going to do TPS, you have to do it all the way. You can't just do, you know, bits and pieces of it. But the thing I want to really stress here with the Toyota Production System is that these are not tools that are being shown, even though it may say Standard Work, Heijunka, Jidoka, Just In Time. These are not tools. This house represents the philosophy, the principles, and the thought process that goes behind the system. And Toyota was adamant, and they still are, that if you don't understand the principles and the philosophy behind the Toyota Production System, the tools don't matter because the tools aren't going to make any sense, okay? And when we do our lean boot camps, one of the first things we start with are the principles. We say, okay, well, look, if you don't understand why these tools are there to help you, okay, then it's not going to matter. It's not going to make any sense to you. You have to really understand the principles. So I got asked one time, well, how come SMED, single minute exchange of die, TPM, 5S, Kanban, go down the list of all the tools that are out there, right? How come they're not on the Toyota Production System house like they were the Danaher Business System house? And by the way, I look back at that and that was a mistake, okay? Why aren't all the tools on there? Because these are not about tools. This is about the thought process, the culture, and the operating philosophy designed where the tools then will fit into this. So you got to think almost about the Toyota Production System house as the what and the tools being the how. Okay. So these are not tools. Right. So let's go into each one of these tools and see what they have to say. The first one I want to talk about is just in time. Just in time is a philosophy and it's a concept. to produce a product or service when it is needed, in the quantity that is needed, and in the right quality that is needed, okay? Easier said than done. Matter of fact, all of these philosophies and principles, just because you all agree that you're going to, you know, march to those principles doesn't mean that the next day you're going to be on target. You're not, because there's a lot of things that have to change in order for you to be able to adhere to the principles. Okay. It's not easy. Easier said than done. Right. So the whole just-in-time concept is just that. Okay. Now, you're going to get a lot of debates that say, well, then that means I can't produce the forecast, because if I produce the forecast, I don't have demand for that product yet, so I can't produce it. It's not really what it means, okay? And people get into all these pedantic debates about stuff like that, all right? What we're trying to do is produce what is required when. We don't want a batch, which is why we want a flow, okay? We don't want a batch production. We don't want to buy, you know, 8 months worth of inventory because we got a raw materials, let's say, because we got a great deal on it. We don't want to produce something that we can't sell when we do have something else we could sell, but we stole capacity from it. And by the way, that happens with a supplier too. You have your supplier make 6 months of product A, and then you're sitting there wondering how come your supplier is not feeding you part B. That's because you yourself stole capacity by asking your supplier not to produce in a just-in-time environment or, you know, methodology. So just-in-time is a real key thing. It's not easy to do, all right? And, you know, when you look at some of the tools that support just-in-time, there's a bunch of them. There's a whole concept of flow and pull systems and Kanban and all that, right? But I've seen time and time again where this concept on companies who claim they're doing lean get violated, right? Okay. Next, let's go down to the other side, of the pillars, and we talk about Jidoka. And there is really no English translation for Jidoka, but it essentially means, you know, we call it automation with a human touch. Some people made up a word called autonomation, whatever the heck that means, but that's what we used to use at Danaher, autonomation, and the people would kind of like pretend they knew what that meant and walked away confused. So what is Jidoka? Technically, it's a device that will detect a defect and stop the equipment from running so that you're not producing any more defects. What you don't want to have is you don't want to have people standing at a machine assuring quality, just watching the machine run. That is not respect for people. That's boring work, okay? You wouldn't stand there and watch your clothes dryer dry your clothes. You'd walk away and do something else, right? So that's a respect for people issue. We don't want people having to do that. And I've seen a lot of operations where the operator just standing there and watching the equipment. And I said, well, why is that operator standing there? Well, in case the tool breaks. Okay. Well, if the tool breaks, what's going to happen? Well, nothing really. The tool just breaks and have to stop the machine. I said, wait a minute, how often does the tool break? Are you guys doing tool life studies? Are you changing out your tooling at the right time? Are you running it to failure? You know, so I've seen this a lot, and it's not good. Now, the philosophy behind this is that you have to assure quality before you pass anything to the next process, whether it's a product, whether it's information on a sales order. How many engineering change notices have I seen in my life because we got bad information from the customer as far as specifications for a piece of equipment, let's say, and all kinds of havoc happened after that? This one company wanted me to come in and help them improve their ECN process, the engineering change notice process. And I said, no, I don't want you to get good at waste. ECNs are waste. ECNs... You never write one when things go right, ever. Why would you want to get better at that? How about we work on Paretoing all the ECNs and figuring out why are we writing them? Because many of those ECNs are being written over and over again for the same root cause, right? So again, the whole idea is assuring quality. Now, it's interesting because there's a lot of SPC fans out there today, statistical process control. And I'll never forget the lesson I had with Iwata-san, who was the head of Shingijutsu. And I was running operations, and he saw a gauging process that we had, and we were gauging 1 out of 15 units to make sure. All it was a plug gauge, you know, for diameter. And he said, "Deluzio-san, you are not checking 14 of these parts. You're only checking 1 out of 15. And here I am, I'm in my 30s, I'm young, I'm smart, I know everything. Iwata-san, you got to understand how SPC works." I'm telling Iwata this, right? Yeah, because, you know, upper lower control limit, 7 points in a row, blah, 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 we'll be able to determine if we have a problem. Deluzio-san, you are only checking 1 out of 15. Would you fly on an airline that only checks 1 out of 15 airplanes? And I said, "Okay, you got me." Okay. I was breaking the principle. SBC actually breaks the principle of assuring quality before you pass it on to the next operation. All right. Now, the crazy thing about it was when we first visited Toyota at Jake Break, where all of this started for the Danaher Business System, and that's where I worked in 1987, and I worked under George Koenigsaker and Art Byrne and Bob Pentland, by the way, who's our VP of operations, who I learned a great deal from. We had this notion that when we visited Toyota, we said, "Hey, Toyota's not using SBC, so we're not going to use SBC either." And guess what happened to our quality? It went to heck because we did not have built-in quality assurance. Toyota already did. That's why they weren't using SBC. They didn't need to, okay? They had built-in quality with Jidoka and Pokeyoke devices, Pokeyoke being mistake-proof, okay? But the whole notion of Jidoka ties into not allowing defects to pass to the next process, and obviously you don't want them passing on to your customer. The last person you want to inspect your product is your customer, okay? All right. Let's move to Hijunka level scheduling. Bottom line is, you're not going to be able to do just-in-time if you don't do Hijunka. And people will say, "Well, wait a minute, Mark, you're not producing exactly to demand, because my demand on Monday could be 50, and on Tuesday it could be 75, and on Thursday it could be 125, and on Friday it could be 25, right? So, Mark, if you're really true to just-in-time, you should be making exactly the right amount every single day. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. How can you have a plant run that varied amount of production every single day? By the time you figure out who's going to work where, even if he has standard work playbooks, okay, it would be such a disruption. Your combine quantities would have to change. Your line sets would have to change. Well, good luck with that. It's not going to work. And I like to always use daily examples, like personal examples with your personal life. Let's just say that you have a family of four, and every night you come home and you have dinner for four people, which means you have four settings at the dinner table and silverware and all that. And you're cooking for four people. And all of a sudden you come home and you tell your partner, "Hey, on Thursday I got 12 people coming over." "Oh my God, we don't even have 12 plates. We only have 8. And where are we going to put them all?" And all that, right? And then the next night on Friday night, you go back to four. And then you say, "Oh yeah, by the way, on Saturday I got another 8 people coming over." And you keep alternate like that, and you will go nuts. Okay. It's almost like planning a wedding. For those of you who have been married, you only do it once, and sometimes you're always not that good at it because you haven't done it before. Okay. So getting that level loaded. Now people say, well, wait a minute, our business is seasonal, so you can't level load our business. Well, wait a minute. I'm not talking about level loading for the whole year. Every business is seasonal. I don't care what business you, I've never met a business that didn't have some sense of seasonality in it. Even McDonald's is seasonal during the day. At noon, their demand is different than at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. So I don't accept that. But you know, what I will say is, yeah, you're seasonal, but your time horizon in which you choose to level load has to be thought through. And it's going to be different for every single business. Okay. So anyway, high jungle level scheduling is key, and you'll find it's not only key for being able to produce it just in time, but it is key for what we're going to talk about next, which is standard work. Now, when I say standard work, I mean the Toyota standard work, in which you would invoke a standard work sequence for the operator, standard work and process where necessary, and tack time. Those are the three elements of standard work. Now, I'm not going to get into teaching standard work here, all right? Those are usually designed for a repetitive process. But then, of course, there's work standards. So we confuse this. This is one of those nomenclatures that get confused a lot. Okay, and sooner or later, everything gets called standard work. But a work standard would be for something that is perhaps, let's say, a setup where you actually have a certain number of steps you have to go through to change over a piece of equipment, okay, or anything else for that matter. But regardless of this, the philosophy here, and again, standard work is a tool, but in this case, sitting on the Toyota Production System house, standard work is a philosophy that says, if I don't have a standard, I can't make any improvements. What exactly am I going to improve if I don't have a standard? Am I going to, you know, improve what's in Joe's head and what's in Mary's head and how you might think about it and how somebody else might think about it? It's all invisible. I don't read minds. And that's not going to happen. So without a standard, you can't not make improvements. I think on another episode, I talk about my 10 rules of a process. And the very first rule is that if it's not documented, you can't call it a process. It's not a standard if it's not documented. I had somebody not too long ago ask me, hey, Mark, how does Lean apply to our forecasting process? Our forecasts are horrendous. We're never right and all that. And you know, our demand management and demand planning and all that. How does Lean apply to that? I said, can you show me the process? Yeah, I can show you a forecast. No, I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you to show me a forecast. I asked you to show me your process in terms of how you do demand management. Well, lo and behold, and I kind of knew this, they didn't have one. So my first answer to you is I can't help you. Lean can't help you. Not unless, but I can help you create a process. Once we create the process, we need to put the work standards in place so that we have the and assignments for everybody. Follow my 10 rules of a process. You can go back on that previous episode and train people to follow this process. Now, if the process isn't giving us our desired results, we'll come back and we'll Kaizen the process. Okay. But right now, you've got nothing. And when you have nothing, I can't improve nothing. Okay, because it's in your head and everybody else's head. So first thing to do is to create the standard, right? Create the process. So without a standard, you can't make improvements. And that's why it's on this house. That's why you don't see single mint exchange a die on this house. That's why you don't see 5S on this house. That's why you don't see TPM and all the other Kanban, for example. Those are all the tools, the hows, if you will, to enact the philosophy here, the philosophy of just in time, of Jidoka, not passing parts bad parts or information onto the next process. Level loading to stabilize your business. Standardize work so that we have something to change when we do. And that's my next slide. By the way, on this slide that I'm showing you right now, I have a quote from my sensei, Nakao. He says, if you do not understand standard work, you do not understand the tertiary production system. He said that to me way back in 1987. Now, it's interesting how many companies I go into and they say to me, Mark, we're doing lean and it's not really working. First thing I'll say, where's your standard work? Well, we have that. Oh, really? Show it to me. I had a client walking through the factory. Yeah, we do standard work. Yeah, really? How come that guy's making 30 pieces an hour when your line's running at 15? All right. How's that work? Show me your documentation. Nobody posts their standard work. We used to post it all the time at Danaher so we could see it, so it's visible. Okay. Everybody will claim they have standard work, but when you ask them to show you the documentation, and there are five documents that make up standard work. Again, I'm not going to get into the details of standard work right now, but nobody does it. And then I get the question, well, what's next after lean? I don't know. Show me your standard work. Okay. Because you're not doing it, guys. Okay. You're not doing lean. You're doing all the fluff stuff with the yellow tape and the posters and the Gemba boards and that show lagging indicators, and you're not even problem solving. So problem solving, again, is a tool, right? And you don't see problem solving on the Toyota Production System house. I'm not dismissing problem solving. It is one of the most important things you can do. Matter of fact, all the years that I've done this, I've come to the realization that this is all about problem solving, okay? But if I don't have a standard, I can't improve. I can't improve. So when you take a look at my first trip, and you probably heard me say this before, but my first trip to Toyota in 1990, one of the executives at Toyota in Toyota City told us that the difference between a world-class company and one that's not is their ability to solve problems. Even the great Toyota, he kind of chuckled, even the great Toyota has problems. But we solve our problems only once. And that really hit me. Okay. They don't fix problems. They solve problems. They get to the root cause. Okay. And I have a whole series of episodes. If you look through the library on the Lean 911 website, a whole series of, I think I have 8 or 9 of them right now on problem solving. Okay. The different versions of my view on problem solving and some of the things that I've run into over the years. All right. So anyway, and I'll probably have more, by the way. Matter of fact, some friends at Toyota told me that if they were only forced to take two tools out of the toolbox, they'd say standard work, problem solving. That's it. Standard work and problem solving, because without a standard, you can't solve problems, all right? So, Hide Oba was on my podcast a while back, and go back and listen to those two episodes. One is about his dad, Hajime Oba, who I worked with when he ran the Toyota Production Support Center. He passed away since. And the other one was about just lean. And Hide Oba told me that everything you do in the factory, whether it's SMED, putting the yellow tape down on the floor, TPM, whatever you do should be directed with a purpose of keeping the operator working to tack time. That's it. And as you know, you've probably heard me say operators should operate. They shouldn't go fetch materials or change out tooling or doing any of that stuff, right? So anyway, he said it should all be geared back to keeping the operator on tack time. Interesting concept, right? But anyway, I just want to get back to the fact that standard work is there to talk about a standard. And without a standard, we can't make improvements. And that leads me to this next slide, which is all about Kaizen. Now, Kaizen, I think we all know, means continuous improvement, or maybe the literal translation is change for the good, change for the better, okay? Problem solving is about change for the better. And I can't do problem solving without a standard. Okay. So you see how all this ties together? These items, just in time, Hijunka level scheduling, Jidoka, standard work, Kaizen, are principles, are the key principles. They're not tools. Tools support them. Yeah, there is a tool called standard work. Okay. But these are principles that we need to embrace before we embark on the tools. And I think probably most companies, and we did it Danaher at first, start by trying to implement tools. And when you go to, you know, to implement tools, you miss the meaning as to why you're doing this. Okay. So kind of a neat thing, if you get challenged as a leader or as a lean professional on anything, default back to the principles. Always default back to the principles. And if you choose to violate the principles, at least know you're violating the principles, right? I remember one time at Toyota, there was some inventory over by the production line, and it had red tape around it. And I asked the question, well, what's that? They had a sign on it that was written in kanji, and I didn't know what it said. And I asked to have it translated. And they said, this is safety stock for operation blah, 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 whatever it was. And we are working on Kaizen in that operation. And this inventory will be gone by April 15th. Okay. And they actually had it cordoned off and identified with red as waste. So they recognized that they were violating the principle by adding excess inventory. But if you think about the mantra, which is another principle of safety, quality, delivery, and cost, inventory being cost, delivery is higher on the totem pole, on the hierarchy, than is inventory or cost, right? So they recognized that they were violating the principle, but they had a plan to get back into a normal, you know, working process. So just because you say that you're going to adhere to all these principles don't mean that on Monday morning when you come in and turn on the lights, you're going to be operating that way, because this is more of a mindset shift than anything. These principles have to be more of a mindset shift that translate into your behaviors, which in effect is your culture, okay? So the Toyota Production System is not a house of tools. It's a house of philosophy, if you want to call it that, right? It's a house of philosophy and principles. And if you really truly understand these principles and then work backwards into the tools that way, you'll have a lot better time being successful than not, okay? So I'm going to end with this last slide again, the first slide I showed you with Tayashi Ono of the Standard Workhouse. And he says, if you're going to do TPS, you must do it all the way. You can't cherry pick it and just do parts of it because it's fun, easy, or fashionable. Okay. So don't become enamored with the tools. Become enamored with the principles and the philosophy. And you'll find that once you go to implement the tools as needed, based on, you know, your problems that you're trying to solve, those tools will be much easier to be accepted by your workforce and also to help solve your problems. Okay, so let's just remember that the Toyota Production System House is a house of principles and philosophy, not tools. Okay, I'm going to sign off. I hope this makes sense to you. This is something that I did not understand for quite a while in my lean career, but I thought I'd bring it out this time and just kind of dust it off and kind of move from there. Okay. Episode 71. Do you really understand the Toyota Production System? And hopefully if you didn't, at the end of this podcast episode, you can walk away saying, yep, I got it. All right. Take care. See you next time. Bye-bye. And stay lean.
Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.